Well, we're in this sermon series. We're calling it Think Orange, and we've been explaining this the past few weeks. It's a color that really conveys the strategy that we have as a church to a church represented by the color yellow, and the family represented as the color red. The church is to shine a light of Jesus. The family is notably known by their love for one another and intimate connection and relationship. And those two colors blend together to make the color orange. And the idea is that we really believe that the family has the power to shape the next generation. And as a church, we want to join with the family in new and unique ways to really make that impact on the lives of the next generation a great one, and to impact them for the things of God and to lead them into the future on where God would have us go. And so this series is really just all about that strategy and talking through it. And we've been focusing on one of our family values. And these values really reflect things that we believe are important, things we want to cultivate in the lives of our families, in the lives of our children. And so we've been focusing on one of these each and every week. And this week we want to talk about creating a rhythm in our families, creating a rhythm and making the most of our time. This is the tagline: increase the quantity of quality time that you spend together. And you know, when I think about my parenting and when I think about parenting kids, one of the things that I always think about and talk about is the dynamic that changes between having one child and then having two. And I always use it like in a basketball metaphor because, I mean, for me, this is just the way it makes more sense. When you have one kid, it's like a double team. You know, two parents on one kid. You know, that's great. You feel like you have a certain level of control. Your life has changed. But two on one, that's an advantage, right? And then when you have two kids, it's like man on man, and things get a little more stressful, right? I mean, you've got one hand for this one, and then, you know, the other for this one. And you know, two parents, two kids, you know, it's man on man. And then after that, it's zone. Like, you're playing zone. You're out at the mall, and you're like, okay, I'm going to be in between this one and the next one. Like, whoever grabs something first, you know, emergency. But it's, I mean, that's the way that it feels. And for me, I remember in particular, and I think that those of you with multiple kids, you can relate. You know, when your first kid comes in this world, you feel as though, okay, you know, like it's a huge time suck, right? I mean, I've got to devote my time to this child. You know, I don't have as much time for myself, and it's a huge deal. You know, hours out of the day that are spent caring for and helping cultivate the life of this child. And then another one comes along, and it's not like somebody magically gives you four more hours in your day, right? All of a sudden, you have to do the same amount of parenting of two kids with the time that you had for just one, right? And then exponentially, it just grows. Like, the more kids you have, the less time you have, and the more difficult it is to manage the time that you have. And so parenting is very, very complicated, especially with multiple kids. And I feel like, for the most part, you know, there's not enough time in the day. And then, you know, to contemplate matters, it feels like time is speeding up. You know, in some ways, there are days that feel like they will never end. And especially when they were younger, this was just the way it was. There were days that felt like would never end. You were just like trying to buy your time to finish the day and put them to bed. And then there are those moments when you feel as though, man, where's all the time gone? Right? And it's this weird kind of give and take. You know, the days are long, but the years are short. That's the way it feels to me, and that's the way I've heard it said. And so, you know, the kids are going to be off in college and in the workplace before you know it, but in the meantime, you can't wait for that time to come, right? It's really difficult, delicate dance and balance. But, you know, one of my greatest fears for me as a dad is that somehow that I'll fail them. You know, that in the time that I do have with them, I won't focus on the right things or the most important lessons that I want to bring to bear on their lives won't be learned, right? They won't get it. They won't grab it. And that, to me, is one of my biggest fears. And so today what we want to talk about is having a focus and making a priority the right things. That we would focus as a family on the most important things and find a way to create a rhythm, to create customs, to create traditions, to create this emphasis on the right things in our family times. And so we want to strategize how we can do that and really do that through looking at the Word of God and what certainly Moses tells us and what Jesus shows us how to do. And so we all need to create a rhythm and develop consistency to intentionally pursue spiritual growth in the lives of our families. And so creating a rhythm, that's what really it's all about. And, you know, we all have rhythms. As individuals, as families, we have a rhythm. We have a way that we arrange our time. It may not be very well planned or intentional, but we all have a way that we do things. We have a rhythm, a way that we go about things. And we establish this rhythm, and this rhythm, in turn, shapes the life of our family. It shapes the life of this next generation. And this is really important, and I put this up on the screen. I think this is a phrase that really drives home the importance of creating a rhythm. But rhythm establishes value. It establishes value. Things that become part of the daily rhythm are the things that our families will come to believe are the most important. Do you have that slide up there, Scott? Is that the rhythm establishes value? Is that phrase in there? Maybe I didn't put it in there. I thought I did. There it is. There it is. Rhythm establishes value. The things that become part of our daily rhythm are the things that our families will come to believe are most important. I believe that this is very, very true. There are some things that we might say are important or conceptually believe are important, but if we don't put them into the rhythm of our time throughout our days and the rhythm of our families, then that's sending the message in the opposite of that direction, right? I mean, we've got to back it up with the way that we live our lives. For example, if you say exercise is important or being physically fit is important, but nobody ever goes out to the backyard to play basketball or goes to the park to throw a frisbee or jump on a trampoline or take a walk or do any of these kinds of things that represent, you know, what physically fit is all about, then certainly that value is not so much of a value. If you don't create a rhythm, it's not a part of their reality. It doesn't drive home to them the importance of what it is that you say that you believe. And the same is true of our faith. That if we want to impart to our kids the importance of our faith, the importance of these things of God that we want to impart upon them, impress upon their hearts, then we've got to create a rhythm of spiritually speaking, of impressing upon the hearts of our kids, our faith, and the ways and the things of God. And so if we want to impress the ways of God on our children, we've got to do so by establishing a daily rhythm in that. And what we want to avoid is compartmentalizing our faith. And I think we fall into this trap so often. We might talk about it or kind of relegate our faith to, you know, a Sunday morning, and every once in a while we go to church, you know, and that is communicating something. But that's, of course, compartmentalizing. You know, if we just do it in one area or just, you know, one time, and don't really immerse our family in this whole experience, then I think we are failing in this, what I think most of us would believe, a priority of conveying and impressing upon the hearts of our kids our faith. And so we've got to find a way to do it that is consistent. We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to build it into the rhythm of our daily lives because we believe that it is so important. And so we don't want to compartmentalize. We don't want to say, hey, we believe this or conceptually believe this, and then not back it up with our reality. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is the big passage that we have been hitting home week after week throughout this series, this is the Shema. This is a famous speech that Moses gave near the end of his time as the leader of the nation of Israel. And in this speech that he gives, he details what creating a rhythm is really all about and what it's like. And so I want to read this again, and let's keep in mind this idea of create a rhythm. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. And we looked, of course, at those things in the last couple of weeks. And then he goes on to say, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What we know throughout the course of history is that this particular passage has become very important to Jewish people. It's very important as well to Christians alike because of what Moses is saying here. Hey, this needs to be in the forefront. This needs to be a focus. You need to place an emphasis upon this. You should remind yourself of these things throughout your day. You know, he's saying put it on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. Put it everywhere. Remind yourself of it constantly. The love of God and the love of neighbor. These commandments that I'm giving you today. For us as Christians, certainly today, it would be the ways of Jesus. It would be the teachings of Jesus. These are the things that we are to focus upon day in and day out. And what I love about what Moses is saying and the brilliance of what he is saying is that he is weaving it into the very natural part of our day, the creative order, the creative way of going about things. He's taking these times that every culture from really the beginning of humanity until now has always done. You know, that when we wake up with the rising sun, we would remind ourselves of these things. When we are going about our day, when we're walking to work, when we're taking a journey, that we would talk about these things, right? And then when we would go to bed at night and we would tuck our children in, we would focus on these things. When we're having a meal together, we would have the dialogue that we so desperately need about these things. And so he is, in and of itself, establishing a rhythm that is tied together with the order of creation. You know, and it's genius. It's something that all of us have in common. We all wake up. We all go to work and take our journeys and drive our kids to school and travel. We all have meals together. We all go to bed at night, right? These are things that, for the most part, are common to the human experience. And so Moses is taking these things and he's saying, you need to create a rhythm with these ways of doing things. You need to remind yourself of these things daily as you are going through all these natural things that every human being does. And so the big idea here is that we are to create customs. We are to create traditions, consistency in our lives so that our spiritual growth as a family will be intentional. I want to take a look at the life of Jesus for a moment. This is what Moses says, and this is what I think he brilliantly spells out for us as a great way of intentionally pursuing these things. But look at the life of Jesus, and there's multiple verses I could have pulled from. There were indicators of his customs, indicators of the way that he lived his life on a consistent basis. He was very intentional about connecting with his Heavenly Father, about doing things to prioritize and to value the time that he spent with God. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says this. He, speaking of Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I love this last line, as was his custom, because this gives us an indicator of what Jesus did. Now, for the Jews, they would go to their church, synagogue, on a Saturday. That was the Sabbath day. And Jesus would do this as it was his custom. This was something he grew up doing, probably something that Joseph and Mary did with him on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. And Jesus is saying, hey, this is something that I do. I go to church. You know, I go to the synagogue on Saturday. It's a part of my rhythm. It's a part of my routine. It's something that I do on a regular basis, right? This was his custom. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. This is a passage to give us an idea of the daily devotion that Jesus had. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. There's a number of different passages that speak about this. There's some that say this was something he did on a regular basis. Jesus got alone, went to a solitary place to spend time with God. This was his custom. This was what he did on a regular basis. This was his routine. And so Jesus put into place this rhythm of life, this way of doing things. He prioritized his morning times with God. He made it a custom to be in the place of worship on a weekly basis. Jesus had these rhythms, these intentional ways that he ordered his time in order to make time with God a priority. And so I want to talk just for the rest of our time about what this might look like. And hopefully you draw inspiration from this, not only if you are a family with kids, but even as individuals. The importance of the different times of the day where you would create these routines and you would develop, intentionally speaking, time with God. Make your faith a priority. So I want to talk about these times that Moses emphasized in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to brainstorm with you, you know, ways that you can use these times strategically to make an impact, especially for those of you who find yourself raising children, because I think this is so critically important that we would invest our time wisely and the time that we have with them. We would use it in a way that honors God. And so I want to talk first and foremost about eating our meals together, eating meals together. There's a lot that can be said about the importance of eating meals together as family. There's a lot of research to be done. And so if you don't want to take kind of the biblical side of it, you could take the statistical side of it. I was reading some statistics. There's a lot of research that's been done as far as eating meals together. Your children would be 35% less likely to engage in disordered eating, right, if you have regular family meals. So there's that. 24% more likely to eat healthier foods, unless dad's cooking. But 12% less likely to be overweight. So there's that. They will have greater academic achievement, more positive family interactions, and improved psychological well-being if you have a regular routine as a family of eating meals together. But biblically speaking, let me talk about this for a moment. Jesus modeled this as well. Think of his meal with his disciples at the Passover. One of the most significant and intimate times that he spent with his disciples was over a meal. And of course, their meals were drawn out in lengthy periods of time where they would have discourse and discussion and all sorts of great things would happen over a meal. But Jesus shared a meal with his disciples in order to institute this very act of communion that we engaged in this morning. It was an important time. Jesus used it strategically. And mealtimes are important. There's a lot of different routines or ways that I know people do this. But I think a lot of times, I know for us, speaking of the Sears family, our mealtimes can tend to get rushed. You know, it's just like bring everybody together. We got practice in 15 minutes. Let's just scarf down some food and then go. But one of the things that is so important to me is trying to sit down at least two or three times a week, have a meal together, and have a discussion. I don't think you could just eat. I think it's so important that over a meal, you would have a discussion. One of the things that we would like to emphasize for you is to use your meal times as a focused discussion, which means intentional, which means planning, which means some form of strategy. You can be a teacher in the course of those discussions. I know some families that do some very creative things along these lines. There's some that have cue cards, right? Cue cards that will bring up a topic of discussion, and one of the family members will be the moderator for that discussion. There are some that will use current events and things that are going on in society, talk about those things. Others will have, you know, a Bible study. For us, one of the most frequent things that we do is we just talk about our days. And we just have each and every kid share about their day and what's going on in their life. You know, what's going on in school? What's going on with your friends? What's going on with your emotions? You know, talk to us about what is going on in your life. And that is essentially a check-in. You know, it's this opportunity for us to really connect together as a family, to talk about the things that we're dealing with and the things that we are going through. And it's such a critically important time. Again, even if you're without kids, you know, the importance of you having meaningful discussion over meals is critical. You know, to do so with friends, to do so with family, to do so in a way that creates this meaningful dialogue. There's something about a meal that really draws that out. There's something about a meal that can create this strategic time to really just open up and share from the heart with one another. And so eating meals together, it's a strategy. It's a focused discussion. It's a time for you as parents to be teachers and to instruct your children in the ways of God. Use these meal times wisely. Use them wisely. The second time that is emphasized through Moses' speech in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is walking, driving, or traveling together. You know, while you're walking down the road, he says. Of course, this is before the age of cars. And this is an informal dialogue. This is when you, as a parent, get to be a friend, or this would be the strategic way to use it. I know for me, when the kids were younger, the car ride was all about either getting them to go to sleep or just distracting them, you know, so that they don't go crazy in the back seat. You know, that was the whole strategy, right? I mean, get the DVD player and somehow make sure that they don't freak out when you're on the road, especially on those long trips to grandma and grandpa's across the mountains. But these days, realizing I've got mostly teenagers in the house, usually it's a discussion of the kind of music that they're listening to, right? And I make every attempt to stay relevant, right? But I have my limits. Because it just seems to me that all Drake cares about is women and alcohol and money. And, you know, this is all the themes that seem to come out in all these pop songs that they're singing. And so I'm always having conversations with them, you know, is this like the priorities in your life? You know, women and partying and, you know, what are you listening to right now? Or if it's country, you know, your heart is always broken and your life is always a mess. And you know that old joke. So, and the girls like the country music and the boys like the hip-hop music, right? And so, but the car time is this dialogue. You know, it really is fun, and we laugh, and I make up my own rap lyrics to the song, you know, and it's a lot of fun. You're a friend. You know, we roll down the windows and yell at people as they're walking down the street. You know, we have a lot of fun. You know, it's a good time. And you know, a car drive can be like that. You know, but traveling in general, when you're on the airplane, right? It's just this great way for you to connect. Nobody can go anywhere. Everybody is isolated to that small space, right? And it's this opportunity that you have. It can go wrong, right? I mean, it can totally go wrong, and we all have experienced that as well. But it's a strategic time. And so the focus here would be to have these dialogues, right? To have this fun. Be friends in the car, you know? Be friends on your way to school. That's the goal, right? But usually what has happened is you've just gone through a stressful morning of getting ready, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But it's a time to kind of lessen the stress and the tension, you know, as they're heading into school, as they're heading to work or wherever else it might be. And, you know, just have fun, right? Just turn on some music and be friends with one another. And so that is a focus. That is something that we intentionally want to create in those opportunities. And sometimes I know, you know, we just see them as arbitrarily. We're just driving from one place to the other. But, you know, one of the things, okay, I'm freaked out of my mind about it, but Josiah is almost 16 years old, and, you know, imagining him driving is scary. But I'm also realizing, you know, as great as that is, it's sad to me as well, because I won't share that drive time. I know that when it comes to Josiah, he'll be off on his own, doing his own thing, maybe even driving siblings places. I will lose the opportunity that I have to have those conversations in the car ride as we're going to and fro. And it is a time that I value. It's a time that I really see as important to developing our friendships. It's amazing how, especially, and for those of you with kids where you're trucking them around all over town, to have that alone time isolated with that one child that you never really get that solo time with. Man, it is so important to be able to have those discussions and connect at that level. It's a strategic time. It's something that I think was spoken all these thousands of years ago by Moses that is just as relevant for us today, that as we are driving, as we are going from one place to the next, that we would use that time strategically and we'd develop these friendships with our children, with those that we're traveling with. Bedtime, tuck in and prayers. We have always had a rigorous bedtime routine. And I remember as parents of young children, for those of you who find yourself in that season, this was always a really stressful time because, in fact, it was my job. You know, Deb would say, this is your job. I've been with the kids most of the day. It's dad time, right? And so I would get the jammies on, I would get the teeth brushed, and I would ensure that they stayed in bed, which was always a huge ordeal, and constantly going back and forth in each and every bedroom. Okay, lights out, and our kids share bedrooms, so it's giggling and laughing and staying up until late in the night. And this became, you know, stressful time, right? But bedtime can be, and I think one of the focuses, one of the strategies for this is it's an intimate time. It's a time when you're slowing down. It's a time when you're decompressing from all the things that have happened throughout the course of the day. I know that now, my wife especially focuses on this time to be a counselor for the girls. The girls are constantly dealing with friends and emotions and lots of social things going on in their lives. And she uses that time strategically to talk with them about, hey, what's going on in this relationship? What's going on with your emotions here? What's going on over here? And I do so with the boys. I go in and hey, what's going on with your life? What's happening? And it's this counselor time. It's this time to be intimate, to have these conversations. Very, very strategic. You check in with them on an intimate level. You create this space for them to be able to share their hearts. This is the time, if I have something to apologize for throughout the day, I'll do it at bedtime. I'll come to them as I've decompressed, as they've, you know, calmed down and whatever, and just say, hey, I said this in this tone today, and I'm sorry about that. I lost my cool or whatever else. That might be an opportunity to do something like that. But one of the things that I've always focused on during bedtime is prayers. We always, always pray. There's rarely a night that goes by that I will not pray for each and every one of my kids personally. And now, you know, they won't go to bed without me doing it, right? It's just, and they're teenagers, you know, they're, hey, Dad, come pray for me. You know, that comes from the other room, and it's just a part of their habit. They can't sleep peacefully without it, which might be a problem when they get into college. But we'll see. We'll transition there at some point. But FaceTime, a little FaceTime prayer. But, man, it's such a great time. I have these fond memories of just, as they were little kids, just praying over them, blessing them each and every night before they would go to sleep. It forms and creates intimacy. It gives me this opportunity to say, how can I pray for you? And they share their needs with me, and I can bless them and pray for them. And man, it's so powerful. And just think about the compounded, you know, blessing in their lives. If throughout the course of their lives, each and every night, they know my Father cares for me enough to pray for me, to be intimately engaged in the things that I am dealing with. The kind of message that sends to them about the trust and the faith that I have that my Heavenly Father would care for them the way that I care for them. And I'm able to demonstrate that through prayers each and every night. It's an intimate time. It's a time where you as a parent get to be their counselor, even as you are asking and praying that God would be their counselor. And so it's affirming. You know, it fulfills their need for that physical touch as you can lay your hand on their heads and just bless them each and every night. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I would encourage everybody, get into a rhythm of doing this each and every night with your kids, even if it hasn't been a habit before, and they'll be like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you praying for me every night? It's so good. It's so good to develop this habit and to communicate the priority that we have of spending time with our Heavenly Father and letting Him know our needs. And then there's getting up in the morning. And maybe you feel like this is out of order. I know I certainly did, but this is the order that Think Orange developed this. So getting up in the morning. This used to be a pleasant experience. When the children were young, they would wake up happy. It was wonderful. I remember going in the crib and, you know, Josiah's happy and Dad, I'm up and I have a messy diaper, but I'm happy. And it used to be fine, you know, and they were full of energy and they would just play Legos and maybe watch a morning cartoon. And it's hell now. It's like a battlefield. We use chemical warfare. We're like throwing water on their faces, trying to get them out of bed, you know, pulling covers off, dragging bodies. Every single one of them wants to sleep in. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. And I like the one thing that I've learned in this season of life is you have to be ready with your game face. Like, so one thing, I'm totally serious. This is not even a joke. One thing I've learned, especially if it's my duty in the morning time with the kids, is I have to get up like at least 15 minutes earlier than everybody else and prepare my soul, right? I mean, I have to be, and I am dead serious. It's funny, but I'm dead serious. This is like the peace of God come over me, you know? The word of God fill my mind, right? Because it is about to happen, right? But it's amazing if you do that, how much more positive and encouraging that morning time can be. And as well, I feel as though I am adequately prepared to do all the things that I need to do, whether it's, you know, helping get a lunch ready or making breakfast or whatever else it might be, that if I have the time and I'm not stressed out about, you know, getting out the door right on time, you know, for everybody to get to school on time and work and everything else, if I am at rest, if I am at peace, if I feel as though I'm not under a crunch, man, I am so much more pleasant to be around. And oftentimes I feel like I escalate the situation when I'm impatient. Where I'm like, you got 10 minutes, you got to get your clothes on, you got to get your hair brushed, you got to brush your teeth, all these kinds of things. And it's just chaos and hectic, and they catch up on that. And all of a sudden, there's this unrest in the home. There's this, you know, spirit of chaos and confusion. Everybody's running around, and it's not good for anybody, right? That in order to develop this sense of peace and rest within the home, that we have to make sure that we are getting up on time to have that margin, because margin really creates that peace. But again, the emphasis being upon getting your own personal time with God each and every morning. And I'm telling you, it will revolutionize this experience. If mornings are chaos for you, they're unpleasant for you, I'm telling you, this is the key to those interactions. That if you can find the time and the space to really say, God, I need you this morning. I need your grace. I need to speak words that bring life and not death. I need to create an environment that brings life and not death. Help me, Jesus, right? I mean, that's the prayer. And, you know, the morning time is an opportunity, and this would be the emphasis, for encouraging words, to speak encouragement into the spirits of your kids. And so one of your key roles in the morning as a parent is to be a coach. And this is the way I do this. I kid you not. This is whenever I drive the kids to school, it is this routine. And I am a coach, right? So I coach basketball. I'm way into it. And so this comes very naturally for me, and it's almost overboard. But we're in the car. Like, I take this whole strategy to heart about encouraging words, right? And so I'm like, you got a math test today? You're going to kill that math test. You are going to destroy it. You are the man, right? Addie, you got a spelling test? You know, you are going to rock that 100%. You are amazing. You're going to be life to your classroom. You know, this is what Scott Andrina does for me. If you ever spent time with Scott Andrina, he's like, you're going to kill it, man. You're going to bring life. You know, this is just encouraging power words, you know. And you're a coach. you have an opportunity to really prepare them, get their game face on for the day. There are times we're in the car when we will literally, everybody's hands in the middle, you know, win on three, right? Win, you know, and I mean, we will get fired up and ready and stoked for the day. And if you can do that, if you could bring some of that positive energy in the morning, it's amazing how that will influence the lives of your children as they go throughout their day. Because the opposite, and we've experienced this as well, is all sorts of conflict and tension and stress. And nobody wants to send their kids off to school in a spirit or an environment like that. I mean, that is like the worst way to send them out the door. And so we've got to be intentional about, in the morning times, speaking encouraging words to our spouse, to our family, to our roommates, right? Speaking encouraging words and being a coach that positively inspires them for the day that is at hand. And this is the way to strategically use that time. Now, these times we have just gone through, there is each and every week and month, there are cues for us as parents that our children's ministry curriculum puts together. And Amanda's going to come up, and she's going to talk for a moment about these cues and just give you some really practical ways to use these four times in your day. And so take it away.
Thank you. I felt it appropriate to support both the Super Bowl sports theme and Orange.
Yes, you
so,
did.
Speaking into creating a rhythm, in my family, you are raised from a very young age to do the hook'em horn symbol so that you never forget it and you always know what to do and you always know that anytime Texas plays, you're in the seat showing up at that game, watching it. It's what we do. And so as you continue to create a rhythm at home, you can use these parent cue sheets to help you develop a rhythm. And some of you, I'm sure, have seen them. Pastor Jeremiah has been so good about introducing those to you every month. And I know at first glance it can seem like a to-do list, but it really is for you to craft it for your family. You know, we don't do a team huddle. We definitely don't do a go because it's just me and my daughter. But we'll do like a fist bump every so often. Or I'll send her a text message in the morning saying, I know you're going to do awesome today. Because I know she lives on her phone. So you speak into where your family is and you create those moments. And so you can use the drive time. I know I have a middle schooler, so drive time is still intact for the most part. And also dinner time, and I capitalize on that. We have dinner together. It's our thing. It's what we do. And I tell her all the time, we work hard during the week, but we play hard all weekend long. And we know that every Sunday is church, and that's one of the things that's so great about your kids and the church that I attended when I was developing my faith and surrounding myself with the Orange Strategy is you learn things that become a habit so that when you go on vacation, you don't take a vacation from church. You go to another church. You get involved. You get connected. You still get fed. You know, faith isn't just a Sunday morning thing. It's a thing that you develop in your home all week long. You can use the parent cue sheets that we provide you in your programs. They're also in the refrigerator door. And if you have a child that's in elementary school and you do family devotions and you're like, this is kind of awkward, I don't know how to really connect with them, we have God Time devotionals that we give to you at check-in or also through the refrigerator door email that you can download and use those as a resource at home to keep the conversation going. Because if it's one thing that I've grown up understanding, I've seen my dad do it in my life and my mom do it in my life, and I've implemented that in my family rhythm, is the door to communication always needs to be open. We can talk about anything at any time. No conversation is off limits. I always want to keep that doorway open because I know that there's going to be a time where she's going to have a big question, and I want her to know you can always come to me. And I want her to know you always have a small group leader who's going to be connected to you, who cares about you. If you don't feel comfortable talking to me about this, I say, if we're not going to talk about it here, who are you going to talk to about this? And I really recommend that you talk to your small group leader about this because this is a big thing that's going to help you. And if you don't feel comfortable telling me, I definitely want you to lean into your small group leader. And so we do provide a lot of resources to you guys. If you're still struggling to say, what is something that I could do? This is what my family rhythm is like. Feel free to shoot me an email and I'll give you some ideas off the top of my head. I'll ask other questions from other parents. And just get you connected. But it really is the drive time, mealtime, bedtime, morning time that you as parents get to implement and reinforce through every phase of life and really be intentional about it, because the minutes we actually get to spend with our kids seem large and exponential, but as they go through every phase of life, it gets shorter and shorter. And you have to be more intentional about how you're going to develop a rhythm so that by the time they get to high school or get to college, they know this is what we do, this is what our family does. And then they take that and they teach that to their friends and they teach that to their own kids when they decide to pursue family building. So yeah, we're a resource to you. Myself, Jason, I know Jason used the Instagram, the 212 Instagram, to post a video question about who's your crew, because they're starting a new series today about crew. And I remember asking my daughter, because I saw that video, and I said, well, who is in your crew? Who are your friends? Who would you say is in your crew? And that just opens another door for a conversation on how to help them develop healthy relationships with people who are going to push them closer to Jesus. So, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I love you. All right, I'm going to sing a song. No, just kidding. I'm not going to sing a song. Final illustration. So, in Garth's freaking out because I got his guitar in my hands. This is a rhythm guitar. And when I first learned guitar, 16 years old, and I thought that the most important thing was getting all the finger positions, because one of the most difficult things at the first part is learning how to press hard enough to get a clean sound out of a string. And it took forever to get the finger strength, to develop the calluses to do that. It was like so frustrating. And then when you could start to change chords, it felt pretty good. But you realized it was like this small part of what playing guitar is really all about. That the most important thing about playing guitar was learning rhythm. Like, it really is the most important thing about playing guitar. And so when I started playing, I was like kind of, you know, you could hardly play because you just didn't have any rhythm. You had no ability to kind of put it together. And one of the things that I learned about creating a rhythm is it just simply took practice. And it was this slow growth process, you know, where you would kind of get one strum down and you could be predictable and it would be kind of boring. And then you would start to learn how to develop, you know, the idiosyncrasies of different strums and different ways to keep rhythm on the guitar. And it's amazing as you keep plugging away, just keep trying and forcing yourself to do it, even though it doesn't feel comfortable, even though it feels like you're missing beats every other time. It's amazing how if you just keep practicing it, you keep working towards it, that all of a sudden you start to really be able to play rhythm guitar. And you just develop a strum all your own, you know? And it's this amazing thing. And I was thinking about that in light of creating and intentionally creating rhythms in our families and habits and customs and traditions in our families. It's never easy to start, but you got to start somewhere. And you just got to start small and just keep plugging away. And you may not do it 2 to 3 times a week. You may only get it once a month, you know? But if you keep trying, if you keep pushing yourself, you keep working at it, I really believe that you will start to develop a rhythm in your family time, traditions and customs and things that you do. And again, as a family, our rhythm, it communicates value to our kids. It communicates what we value and what we believe is most important. And if you can do that through the habits that you form and the traditions that you form as a family, you will go a long ways towards their spiritual formation, impressing these things upon their hearts. And so I just want to challenge you as we close this morning, what can you do this week in an intentional way in these interactions with your kids to create a rhythm of impressing the things of God on their hearts and helping them through spiritual formation? It's the most important thing that we will do as families, as parents. And so I want to inspire you to that this morning and pray for you as well. So if you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for this incredible challenge that you have placed in our lives to raise the next generation. And as Moses emphasized that we are called to impress these things on their hearts, God, to teach them the ways of God. And if it doesn't happen through us, God, then where will it happen? God, we need to lead them into the things of God. We need your strength. We need your guidance. We need your grace. And God, I just pray that you would help us. I pray that you would equip each and every parent, each and every mentor, youth leader, each and every person who has a child in their life, God, to really take these things to heart, that we would create these rhythms in our families, in our households, God, to really emphasize the things that are most important, to place value and priority on the things of God. God, let us have amazing discussions and interactions this week, inspiring discussions. God, let us lead our children into the ways of God. We thank you so much for all that you have entrusted us with. We thank you for these families. We thank you for these children. God, we pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.